Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Oh shit, hold on. I wrote this down somewhere.
Yeah, you wrote it down last week, didn't you?
Forget it. I'm Mo. And your topic.
My topic, yeah, we're going to hit things up. First thing I want to hit up on is our good friend John Morrison, or as I'm calling him now, John Moronison.
Yeah.
He
and his off-again, on-again girlfriend?
I'm not sure what they're really... I mean, they're currently...
On,
I guess, because Batista's no longer in the company, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're still on when Batista fucks her.
Right, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
What a... So he's upset.
He's being stupid over... okay, why don't you tell his history? We talk a little bit about Batista, talk a little bit about, you know, everything. Why don't you tell us...
Well, essentially, the
kind
most
of his history of dumbness.
Well, his current dumbness. Let's deal with the current dumbness. His current dumbness stems from the fact that he was not appreciative of Trish Stratus being in the match with Snooki when his girlfriend Melina was not on WrestleMania at all.
But you have to keep in mind, his girlfriend Melina came back and came back from an injury. Had the world's title, came out as Pocahontas in that horrible outfit at SummerSlam. If she had gotten over, if she had done a good job, if everything had worked, she would have been there. She hasn't gotten over and done a good enough job.
Well, and the thing...
She came back as a face, now she's turned heel, nothing's worked, it's Melina's fault. But he doesn't see that. He blames Trish, who all she did was take a payday that anybody would have taken.
Well, I was going to say, Trish didn't book the match. Trish didn't lobby for the match. Trish is part of Tough Enough, and it was sort of a cross-promotion. Heck, if anything, Kelly was supposed to be in the match, and Snooki took the place. Melina was scheduled to be in, like, an all-women's something that got bumped.
And that
bumped.
Was bumped for Snoop Dogg.
Well, and that, but that was even bumped, you know, like, they didn't promote it. Like, it was bumped prior to the promotion. I mean, you look at bumped, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus was promoted and bumped, right?
Yeah, and even, the point is, though, even if you don't believe it, you got to play the politics behind the scenes. You got to play the game. Morrison hasn't done this. Historically, he hasn't done this.
Okay,
recently,
so after,
they were kicked out of the Sky Bar in Los Angeles.
In L.A., that's right.
You know, they Twitter about breaking up with each other. She sleeps with other wrestlers. He does nothing. Vince McMahon does not appreciate that because that doesn't make you an alpha male.
Pal.
You know, and just in general, Morrison, he should be at the point where he can be elevated. And instead, he's immature and his girlfriend's immature. And it doesn't look like he's getting there, and people keep on going, why? Well, if you're wondering why, this is why.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, it's people look at John Morrison, as I did, and said, you know, we talked about...
I think they should push him anyways, because they don't have anybody else.
I don't.
Because he's the most potential to draw money.
I don't think so. I think you
fucking, they put up with... Look at all the immature stuff that people like Shawn Michaels or Randy Orton have done over the years, though.
Well, and that's true.
Not
that's
to mention
true.
Batista fucking her.
When you talk about Randy, yeah, you know. It's a big deal. I mean, Edge fucked Lita, and we talked about, you know, a couple of shows ago, Edge fucked Lita, and it made his career, for God's sakes. I mean, it's
well,
just...
Well, actually, apparently they didn't really ever... Well, did they or didn't they?
He said they did.
Yeah. Well,
he did on his interview.
He
did on his... Well, I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, it's a matter
that's
of...
That's okay, because that was live on Raw.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that you know, more honest in here, his big thing now is that, you know, they have the match and Trish goes to, you know, to hug him as they go through the
curtain. Well,
I mean,
she tried to talk spots. He wouldn't talk spots before the match.
Yeah,
either.
He didn't want to do anything. He was saying, yeah, whatever. Essentially, he was a baby.
He's a baby.
And that was, you know...
Play the game politically. Play the game.
Don't even fucking play the game politically. Be a goddamn adult.
Yeah.
Don't be a fucking... kindergarten kid running, you know, well, yeah, I wanted my girlfriend to be at WrestleMania and she's not in, so
she was good enough, she would have been
I'm
there.
Not going to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck off. Like, you know what, that when you say I think we should push him anyway, fuck that. You know what, if you're going to be a moron, then you know what, you deserve everything you get. Look at MVP. MVP had all the potential, and it looked like he was the guy that they should give. And he talked, and he was an asshole to the piss test guy. And there went his push, and he never recovered.
He never recovered.
And the same is probably going to be said for John Morrison. The best thing that could happen to John Morrison is that Melina has wished well in her future endeavors
and
in these post-Mania cuts.
I think she will be. I think Melina will be cut. I've said this before, and I believe that's what's going to happen. Melina will be cut. So,
yeah.
But first off, I'm guessing, let's hit another subject. I'm guessing maybe before she's cut, she gets destroyed by the next big thing in the women's division and the Great Kong vignette.
I did want to mention one more thing, actually, that I noticed on Raw 2 weeks ago on Raw after Edge's promo.
Yeah.
And it was... And this was great. I haven't heard anybody else mention this, but this is what I noticed is when they showed Edge coming through the curtain and hugging people on Raw and talking to people, Morrison was the first one there or the second one there. Mm-hmm. And this was right before he Goldust, you know, was Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes was out there and they
shook hands or whatever. But Morrison was either first or second in line, and Edge just blew right by him.
Well, Edge is pretty tight with Lita. Or not Lita, I mean with Trish.
So. Well, and it was just, I noticed it, and it was like, yeah, fuck you, buddy. This is what you get now.
This is what you get.
You're fucked. Like,
you know what? It's almost like you smiled when Vince McMahon was going to die. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Exactly. And I just think that you know, he's going to get it. And I said that's the best thing that could happen to him is that Melina is released and he's able to go on his own away from this what's becoming a negative influence influence, right? Is holding him back. But you want to talk about Awesome Kong?
Yeah, let's talk about that awesome vignette. For those of you who didn't see it was just her holding a Barbie doll. I mean, for obviously copyright reasons.
No, it could be a Barbie doll because they're tight with Mattel. Right?
It wasn't a Barbie doll, but it was something similar. A blonde, and she just wicked music, and basically a silhouette, a little bit of her hair, and then
don't
she
know her name
flicks
yet.
The head.
Yeah, and
laughs.
And
does a laugh. Yeah. And I'm like, this is kind of like the Mick Foley vignettes to introduce him, just creating this ominous character who, it's like, okay, what is this, and what are they going to do? And all of a sudden, the women's division, for the first time in I don't know how long, I have some interest.
Well, and that's a Hunter call, and that's something that Hunter is very much in favor of, is vignettes to promote people.
Yeah, did he? He had vignettes to promote him when he debuted.
He did, but and it was. I remember he had really weird vignettes.
Yeah, he did.
Because all his things were: you have smoking guns, you have bushwhackers, you have head shrinkers. Everybody he mentioned was a tag team guy. I'm going. So is he coming in with a partner? Like, why is he mentioning all these tag teams? Anyway,
no, it's just because they were scuzzy, and he was.
Well, you had Duke the Dumpster, and you had all these other guys. But I mean, you could have found some guys.
Yeah,
but anyway, I just remember
There's
that
Tia
anyway.
Hopper. No, wait, I guess he hadn't debuted yet.
He was a heel though too. Yeah. But no, I just remember that. That's all he did was he mentioned tag teams. But anyway, and that was something that that Hunter is very much in favor of is these vignettes. We've seen it now with Sin Cara. We've seen it with Awesome Kong, and hopefully we're going to continue to see it with new guys and gals to debut them. Maybe not in different ones, right? They don't all have to be the same, but I do like this.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, I guess, the next one is probably good to come up would be Percy Watson.
Yeah, it could very well be. One thing about Percy Watson is he's developed his character very well, and this is a character so that they seem to want to promote as is. I don't think they want to make a lot of changes from the character that he had on NXT and FCW. So that's a good thing.
That should be a good thing. And
theoretically.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Awesome Kong, and that leads us to
Sin Cara.
Well, no, when we talked about last, I think it was last show, the Bellas, right? Are the tag champs, right? So now we've gone, and that kind of makes sense being away from Eve. In that if we can get some Barbie dolls as the champion, and then, you know, and Kong can go through these Barbie dolls, and then you're going to have Eve, who's going to be the MMA, the tough girl, right, that can stand up. But then you've also got Beth Phoenix that can stand up.
I think Natty.
You've got Natty that can stand up. You've got Gail Kim, who's got a history of great matches with Awesome Kong.
Yeah,
everybody
won't see it.
So everybody's going to be disappointed when they get when those happen. And I mean, you know that's already you already know that's happening. Is that you're going to get Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong?
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
You are.
You
for
aren't.
2 minutes on Raw.
No, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're not even going to get that. You're not going to even get that.
Oh, I guarantee
you. The same
you.
Reason you didn't get Jerry Lynn versus RVD.
You did. on Sunday Night Heat
okay.
for 3 minutes. I'm telling you, you are going to get Gail, probably on Superstars, and it's going to be a two-minute match. You are not going to get a feud. You're not going to get any sort of quality, but they are going to hook up, and it's going, and everybody's going to be disappointed.
Maybe. Yeah. I
definitely.
See
we'll
see, though. But yeah, I mean, you have somebody coming in, and then you're going to, you know, like I say, maybe you have Trish Stratus come back for a one-time match a year from now to face her. You have all sorts of stuff you can do.
And ironic that
the exact opposite of what they look to promote in the women's division is what could finally make it interesting and draw a little bit of money. Who can stand up to this monster heel?
Yeah.
So that's awesome. And just because the vignette was so good, I don't think they're going to fuck it up. I mean, a lot of people were wondering, is she going to be in the Rumble and such? And I said at the time, you're not going to see her till post-Mania, because that's what they do. And that was the right thing to do.
That was the right thing to do, right.
And it's, this is...
See, now you say the vignette. You say the vignette's good, so they're not going to fuck it up. That leads us to Sin Cara.
That leads us
to Sin Cara. Who had tremendous vignettes.
Yeah, the vignettes were good. You know, given the fact that they had no actual
footage
or anything. But I want to bring up, let's compare Sin Cara to, okay, there's two debuts that you can compare this to in the history. That's Rey Mysterio.
Right.
And Ultimo Dragon. Rey Mysterio's was well done.
You're talking about other masked. Right.
Other masked, yeah, you're talking about masked, high-flying guys with an established reputation before coming.
What about the Conquistadors?
You're talking about an established, high-flying guy with a good reputation before coming in. So
you're talking about Executioner number two.
We're talking about an established... Anyways, so what I'm saying is, let's compare it to Rey, because Rey was really well done.
Yes,
got
he
him
was.
Over.
Yes, he
then
was.
Let's compare it to Ultimo Dragon, where it looked well done, and then they fucking dropped the ball. And Sin Cara, who
well, I disagree with
could
Ultimo,
go either way.
Ultimo Dragon, Ultimo Dragon's push and career actually ended up being on the level of well done. So
that's true, but it's on the. You know, I mean, it's starting to lean towards that Ultimo Dragon. So tell us what they did with Rey and how they did it right.
With Rey, well, Rey was a variety of things. And Rey, you did have the footage. You had the WCW footage. So there was, you know, it was the Mexican music, essentially. It would, you know, like almost
flashing
like
flashing all the different
masks. I was going to say, it would have all the different things, and it would flash in like the Batman, old school Adam West Batman with one of the masks, and it would pull back out.
Yeah.
And then he'd have another sort of thing with him doing like a
Hurricanrana.
The
yeah,
they'd flash
the
masks.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, on the flip side, on the other end, his debut match was going to be against Chavo Guerrero. And Chavo, then, in the weeks leading up to this, was winning matches via submission. I believe he used...
Yeah, he was using submission holds to win the matches.
And
talking about how he was the best luchador in the business.
Yes.
And was winning matches, I repeat.
Yes, it was, yes, it's hard to believe that Chavo Guerrero was once winning matches.
It's hard to believe that they were using anybody to put somebody over by winning matches.
That's true.
And so, yeah, I mean, and then finally they came out, they had that first match.
Yeah.
It had some heat. Rey goes over clean and looks good.
Yes.
Simple. And then shortly after that, he jumps off the cage, comes out and jumps off a cage onto Kurt Angle and such. I think it was Kurt Angle. Benoit was in the cage. I can't remember who else.
I was
going to
say, it was like Kurt Angle and Shelton or something,
And that elevated him as a spectacular high-flying move, and it was against a top-level guy, top-level team.
Yeah.
And that elevated him, too. And you're like, this is it. This is all you do. It was really simple, and it was really well done, and it got Rey over.
Yeah. Now let's talk about what did they do with Ultimo Dragon.
Well, with Ultimo Dragon,
this
they
was
had
so
really,
well. This was so well done that I couldn't even tell you.
What they did with Ultimo Dragon was they had him come again. They had really good vignettes.
Yeah. I do remember that.
And they had Taz talking about how this guy coming with this international reputation.
Mm-hmm.
He came out in his first match. I don't remember who he defeated, but it doesn't really matter. He looked really good, and he got a really good crowd reaction.
Right.
And then I believe the next time we saw him was losing in the first round of the U.S. title tournament to Chris Benoit or Eddie Guerrero.
Billy Gunn, maybe.
And that was it. All of a sudden. And then he never – and then all of a sudden it was obvious he was going to be in the cruiserweight, and they didn't give a shit about the cruiserweight.
Yeah.
And
then he had the most spectacular WrestleMania entrance of all time.
And then he slipped at WrestleMania, and it was all over. But even before that, it was all over for him.
Well, the other thing that was all over...
You have him come out, get a good reaction, look good, a great reputation, win one match, the crowd's into him. Then you put him in there against somebody and have him lose the next week. And they haven't done that with Sin Cara, but what they did do was have him go fairly even Steven with a guy who nobody takes serious,
yeah, exactly,
in Primo Cologne. And immediately the momentum starts to go down, and you know, we see
where they've got that stupid trampoline entrance for him, which I just think is dumb.
Yeah, and now he's losing momentum.
Because it's very obviously...
Last Monday, you could already see the momentum was down.
It's very obviously a trampoline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very obvious that he's not doing... If he ran in...
He doesn't do it as well as the cheerleader boys did, whatever the hell they're called.
Oh, with the Spirit Squad.
Spirit Squad,
well,
yeah.
What he should be doing is if he dives through the middle rope, that's fine. You know, and he could do that on his own. But... he did a couple things there. So the trampoline spot was stupid. There was the end when he was going for the top rope Spanish fly there, and Primo fucked up, and
but the
Sin Cara fell off.
But then he just got up, stupid finisher anyway.
Because he's not going to be able to do that finisher to Sheamus or to Swagger, you know. Yeah. So, but who knows what that's even is like? And that's the other thing is why is that is. Like, do we even know that that's his finish? Like, he's had one match, and I don't understand why you would make that the finish of the match. Like, the whole match layout was stupid, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, he looked good against Sheamus when he came out. He screwed up a little bit, but it was okay. He took down Sheamus the first time he saw him. It wasn't a match. He took down Swagger. Looking good. Then Primo, even Steven, and all of a sudden it's like, oh... Okay, now they're putting him in main events in the European tour.
I was going to say, in the European now, it was Cena and Sin Cara against...
House shows. I'm sorry, what are they called?
Non-televised live events.
Yeah, there's non-televised live events. Yes.
Alex Riley and Miz. And then let me tell you, Alex Riley against Sin Cara. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's fine. You know,
a main event anywhere in the country.
So obviously, he comes in, and after the vignettes, they don't have an idea for him. It's pretty obvious. There's no feud waiting for him.
No,
there's no nothing
exactly,
waiting
right?
for him. You know, they want to book him strong, but there's so few guys they feel confident
you
he
need
can
to
work
put
with
him on, you
because
need
he doesn't know the American style. And again, I just look at the way they did Ray. Ray was right. Ultimo Dragon was wrong. Sin Cara looking more like Ultimo Dragon.
What do you do with Sin Cara then?
What do I do with Sin Cara? Mm-hmm. I put him in a tag team with Rey.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's exactly what I do. And they win the tag titles over on SmackDown from anybody who
speaks Spanish. Fuck, I put him in a tag team with Primo.
I would put him in a tag team
with
Rey.
Would be best.
Because they both got the mass. Rey can benefit from only working half as much.
Yeah.
Right. Sin can do most of the work, and Ray can come in with a 619, or you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They get the heat on Sin Cara, and you've got someone doing that on the house shows.
And you have them work against another one of the top tag teams, like the Usos.
That's right. The Usos or the Core.
Yeah.
Or
actually,
Apple.
The Core would be fine. You know, if they weren't splitting them up now. There's actually, you could come up
with
something.
Yeah, but just because they're splitting
them up doesn't mean it matters. You can do anything. You can do any mini feud. Put the belts on Rey and Sin Cara and create teams for them to go against. Teams that will both benefit from all four of them being in the ring together. It's not difficult, but it's not what they're going to do. And it's, hey, we're paying the guy, so he's got to get over, and we can't have him in a tag team. We don't want to pay extra people in the main event, and we're paying him too much, and single stars, and we can't even pay managers, and, you know.
Well, that's the problem, is that they're not in a position to put him in a...
Well, they are, but they aren't.
They're not going to, essentially.
The mentality is that they're not going to
put him in a tag team, which
and
is what they
bad.
Should
and
be doing.
Not even that guy. I mean, there's Primo. Primo's a good performer and a good hand that they don't see anything in. But there's not even outside of Primo a lot of people he can't go on the road
Chavo.
With. Yeah, Chavo and Primo and not a lot of other people he can even go on the road with and work with on these non-televised events and get better.
Oh, there's Regal.
Okay, that's Regal.
You know, you've got, that's the list pretty much.
There's Fit Finlay. Oh, wait.
There's Gold Dust.
Yeah.
You know, that once he's healthy, he can, he can do that. But, I mean, yeah, no, it's really the list is small, and we've talked about that before. Just
talk
the
a little bit about Fit.
Yeah, let's talk about the newly fired Fit Finlay.
Yeah, exactly. Recently released just before Mania. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. They have a history of doing that. They do it with creative, largely. They've done it with wrestlers before in the past. It's like firing somebody right before Christmas. It yeah. just feels a little low. Wait a couple weeks. I'm not sure the reason for his firing.
Well, he was, you know, the reason for his firing is that it was during a house show. Again, it was during the national anthem. Mm-hmm. They had Miz come down and interrupt the national anthem. Mm-hmm. And cut a promo or something. And I don't know if it's specifically the fact that he... I think it might have been what he was instructed to say when he cut off the anthem or what it was. But it was Finley's show that he was agenting. And someone in the military, in the Marines, complained.
Yeah.
And so...
You don't have to fire him over that.
Well, no, you do. This is no different than... this is his firing was along the same lines as Daniel Bryan in the necktie.
Okay, you do, so, but you don't.
Well, and that's what they're saying, though, is that it's yeah. not unlikely that when everything blows over, that Fit Finlay isn't going to be back.
Oh, if he doesn't go to TNA. And I'd be in touch with him, and we got to talk to him about all this.
Okay, well, you want to try to give him a call right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, yeah. Hold on. Let's see if I can get a hold of him. Hold on. You talk about you talk a little bit about your opinion on Fit and what he was doing in the Federation. I believe he was working with the Divas before he was gone.
Well, I was going to
see if I can get him on the phone.
Fit Finlay, yeah, is widely considered, you know, in the time of Lita and Trish Stratus and whatnot, the driving force behind the improvement in the in-ring product of the women. Okay, so we've got Fit Finlay on the line here.
Addy, how you fucking doing over there?
Fit, is that you?
That's fucking Addy.
Oh, hey. Yeah, it's Addy here. Thanks so much for coming on. I know it must be
a... Laddie. Your name Laddie, right? Fucking Addy?
Addy.
Laddie.
Addy.
Lad. Oh. You're fucking nice,
well,
Laddie.
Okay, close enough, I guess. So what have you been up to since?
Well, fucking bollocks the way I was fired, you see.
Well, yeah, I think we were just kind of talking
about
that.
Fucking bollocks, you know. By the way, can I fucking curse in the show?
I do.
Yeah, it's okay.
So,
I'll try fucking not to, but if I fucking drop one, just let me know.
Yeah, no problem. If it gets out of hand, we'll definitely know. We're on the internet, so really anything goes. Hey, so.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we go worldwide.
So we fucking put smiles on people's faces, you know.
I've heard that. That's what I was going to ask you. Are you disappointed that you no longer are going to be getting to put smiles on people's faces?
Well, they fucking and they fucking put him in the head. Is he fucking smiled? They fucking, you know, fucking hit a person in the and the fucking guy, fucking right.
Good point. Good
yeah,
point.
Bollocks, you know, I say.
That's no, and I'm sitting under the learning tree here listening to you because that's just, you know.
Well, fucking, the fucking agent and the fucking American producer and fucking back.
Well, that's, let's talk about that because now you've been released. Do you where do we go from here? Do you have any plans to go to TNA?
Oh, no. Fucking no.
Okay.
It's fucking shite.
I agree. Well, we don't want to take up too much of your time, so thanks very much. Is there anything else you want to let the people out? A lot of listeners here, you know, a lot of European listeners, a lot of North American. But anybody, what do you want to tell your fans and the people that have just supported you now that you have this forum?
Oh, fuck Russo.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Fit. I agree. What a wise man.
He's a class individual, isn't he?
A wise man. Well, you know, he just. He, as I said, a lot of knowledge in
yeah,
in
no, it was that's why he managed to elevate the women's division, really.
Well, to be able to communicate all his knowledge, you know, that way was great. But that's Fit Finlay, and you know, that's too bad. I want to talk about. Do you have a topic? I guess because it was.
Okay, let's hit. I want to talk about this. Tonight's new episode of SmackDown coming up. Well, I guess for most people, it'll be tonight by the time they download this show.
Right.
Last Friday on the show where Edge left, the Core had a match, and in this match, Booker T referenced Tsunami.
That's you said that, yeah.
And they didn't edit it out, and we had talked about. It was like, I can't remember exactly in the context, but it was something like, it was a tsunami of action or something along those lines.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Two tsunami, I guess, because the T is actually supposed to be pronounced.
Okay, like, yeah, that's your new fact that you're proud to tell everybody.
Yeah, whatever. George Takei, you know, he contacted, Hollywood stars, you know how I am.
You are in there with the homosexual Hollywood stars, yes.
And the straight ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we had Ryan Seacrest on.
Right, so, right, that's true.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. So, he referenced that, and we had talked about how Hogan referenced that, and they actually did edit it out. So I just want to get your thoughts on the fact that he said that, and they left that
And it
there.
Wasn't what we have to call a spade a spade, right? I mean, when we were
especially
doing that.
Especially when it's Booker T.
And it was about a month ago that, about a month ago. You're proud of yourself for that one, aren't you?
I wish that I could edit that out.
Yeah,
kind of.
Talk about
it.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
When you talk about that. We're talking about edit what they should have edited out, and then you go and say that. It was about a month ago when Hogan did his tsunami.
Now we're probably not going to have New Jack on.
And we might. Oh,
he
probably still
won't.
But Mark Henry might
he
not come
it.
On. But
no. Well, he did
anymore. But and we had said, you know, if you think this kind of shit would fly in WWE, well, apparently it does.
Yeah, nobody even noticed. Nobody said anything. Nobody's brought it up anywhere.
No,
it blows my mind. He said it. God damn it! You know, I just. Again, inappropriate Booker. I like Booker. I was so happy to see how much, how happy he was with Edge and to see them hug and everything. And there has to be somebody should be sitting there going, "Oops."
The
let's
part
fix that.
Well, and the thing is the part that I noticed on SmackDown.
You know, he was out there without a script.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it a lot of it? There wasn't a lot of Michael Cole on SmackDown either.
No.
You know, when I – to the point where until – and I said I watched the show on PVR, and I don't see a lot of it. I watched
By the way, Addie's the racist between the two of us.
I watched the Cody Rhodes, and I watched the
– in case you were wondering.
Yes, in case they were wondering.
I'm the fat one. He's the racist one.
And they were watching – keep digging yourself a hole. But Terry, I watched the Edge thing and I watched the Cody Rhodes, and that's about all I saw, actually.
Just on-screen and off-screen personas
and,
for us.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
when I noticed the parts that I was seeing, there wasn't Michael. I wasn't until Edge's thing when everybody was standing up and applauding that I even noticed that Michael Cole was there. So, they, I also saw the Core do some commentary and whatnot for that.
Technically, you're the one who said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to Edge, because we had mentioned we're going
to
talk.
Let's
about
go back
him.
To Edge. Yeah.
Let's
we talked about Edge a couple weeks, but we didn't. We had a lot to say.
I
want to
know.
We did a whole hour on Edge,
but we had so much left.
We sat back looking, and we said, you know what? We still got more. We got to talk about
tons more about Edge. So let's go back to Edge, and let's talk about what was left for him. Now that he's left, was there anything left for him?
No. The only thing left for him personally. I mean, you look at everything he did. He's won the Rumble. He's won the King of the Ring. He's won every major title that I can think of. I mean, he's been a U.S. champion, for God's sakes. He's been a both companies, both sets of tag titles he's held. He's been the unified tag champion, for God's sakes. He's intercontinental, as I said, U.S. champion. He's won both versions of their world title. So he's won both secondary, both primary, both tag titles. Was he a European champion at any point? I don't even know. Was he a hardcore champion? I don't even know.
He was hardcore.
Well, everybody was a fucking hardcore champion. But, and again, King of the Ring, Royal Rumble, and he's main evented at WrestleMania. He's tag teamed with Hulk Hogan, his boyhood idol, that he's done. The only thing really left that he could have done, which maybe in what they were going through over the summer, would have been a main event Edge versus Christian feud that may have been personally fulfilling for him, just, for both of them, really. That's the only real thing, but in terms of career accomplishments, he's going out at the right time.
I got to say I disagree with you on this one. I'm probably not going to get into it as much as last time, but we'll see how it goes.
Do you think
he
should go on YouTube?
Get his character over.
Uh-huh.
I think there was actually quite a bit left for him. You referenced the Christian thing. There was that. There was the fact that he was finally getting a run at the top as a babyface champion, and it was cut short.
Mm-hmm.
There was the fact that, yes, he main evented at WrestleMania. It wasn't advertised as the main event going into it. We didn't know for sure if that was going to go on last. Him versus Undertaker.
No, but it still, it did.
Because, see, it did, but it wasn't advertised as it. He hasn't had a main event as a babyface. He also hasn't won a main event at Mania. He lost that one. He had a short, not too important feud with Triple H on SmackDown when Triple H was briefly on that brand.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Triple H never had that really high level feud.
They didn't know.
He had a new opponent in Del Rio.
But Hunter's done. Hunter, for all intents and purposes, is a part-timer, and you're not really going to get that.
He and Hunter could have had the same thing as Hunter's had with Undertaker, so let's just say that, okay? So he's never had that, hey, this is two legends, or this is, you know, he's never had that match. He never had a match with Shawn Michaels, for that fucking matter.
Yes, he did. Royal Rumble.
Not at the level I'm talking about here. Not when he was established as a star.
Yeah, but again, Shawn Michaels is fucking retired. Like, when what else is there for him to do?
Shawn Michaels
can't fucking wrestle Shawn.
Triple H he could run. Yeah. HBK maybe not. My point is, though, is that there's some new up-and-coming guy still. He never had something with Punk. He never had something... I worked briefly with Ziggler, but he never had anything with Miz. There's fresh matches, and he was at the point now where he finally was over to the point where he could do a clean job to somebody and it didn't affect him. Because even early on when he was a champion, that wasn't there. So I think there's actually quite a bit left. I think, and his character as a babyface could have evolved. It could have gone different directions. So I think that's the thing. I disagree. I guess he's had a lot of career accomplishments. I think he still could have. I think there was still something left for him to do.
Well, there's more that Hunter could have done for Edge could have done for the industry. Okay.
There's more for him to do in the industry too.
But personally, you know, I run down all 31 titles. No, I'm just saying. What else? If I'm Edge, you know, I'm disappointed that I don't get to do the Christian feud, and that I didn't get a longer run as a top babyface on SmackDown. But, you know, I didn't have that feud with Hunter. Well, Hunter's pretty much retired, so, you know, I didn't know like that was really going to happen anyway. HBK's retired, you know, so that's not going to happen. Yeah, it would have been nice if. Yeah, it would have been nice.
The Hunter
nice
one
if.
Is more likely.
There's fresh matches.
I feel like in a lot of ways, he was finally hitting a stride in a lot of ways.
Is it the right time for him to go out? Yes.
I can't say it's a bad thing for him to go out and that he's going to have a lot of regrets, but I just think there was a lot left. There was a lot left, in my opinion, for him to do. But I want to talk about this then. So is he going in the Hall of Fame then? Does it solve the issue of the headliner for the Hall of Fame next year?
No. No, it doesn't. Whatever we're talking, maybe 2 years from now, essentially WrestleMania in Toronto. It's going to be a matter of when WrestleMania comes back to Toronto. It's not going to be if WrestleMania comes back to Toronto.
Vancouver's tried hard to get it too.
It's when, and is it going to be 29 or 31?
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you're going to get Edge. You're going to get Trish Stratus. You know, you might get the British Bulldogs or...
We've seen this. You get maybe one, maybe two guys from an area going in. You didn't get, you didn't get as many going in to Texas as you thought Texas would have. It wasn't all Texas guys.
Who went in last year? The Von Erichs went in. Austin went in. Who else went in?
I can't remember. But the point being when you wasn't... This last year, the Road Warriors went in. They're not – you don't
– Georgia Championship
them.
Wrestling?
Yeah, but you don't associate them with that, you know. Bullet Bob Armstrong, yes, okay.
Abdullah the Butcher,
but it's not as regional as you're making it out to be. So I think that's a load of shit.
Yeah, but in Toronto you get Edge and you get Trish Stratus.
Maybe.
They're from Toronto, and WrestleMania is in Toronto. You get that.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah. There's a good chance.
So that's what I'm saying. Does that solve the problem?
You always think of it as regional. That's why you thought fucking Lex Luger was going in this year.
Dude, does it always solve the problem of next year's Hall of Fame? The answer is no.
Okay, well, it could, though, because the precedent has been set that they put in a person immediately afterwards.
They put Shawn Michaels in immediately after.
Ric Flair almost counts. Eddie Guerrero, the slightly different situation, but not much in that of somebody who all of a sudden could no longer perform with the company.
Eddie Guerrero passed away, and there was a groundswell for Eddie, and that was a situation.
And there'll be Flair, a groundswell for Ed.
Flair and...
People were already chanting Hall of Fame at him.
Well, they were, yeah, and they've heard that, but I don't think you...
He mentioned it as well, if I'm lucky enough to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't think you do it right away.
Christian said on his Twitter, I'm looking forward to inducting you into the Hall of Fame.
Well, of course, yeah, blah, 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 but, I mean, so what? You know, Zack Ryder goes on YouTube, what does that help? Nothing. Okay? So, all I'm saying is, and of course Christian's going to go on YouTube, what's he going to say? Oh, I don't think, you know, can't wait for, you know... Rhino to induct you in the Hall of Fame. No, right? I don't put Edge in the Hall of Fame.
Rhino
next
was an underrated
year.
Promo. Honestly,
I don't put Edge in the Hall of Fame next year. I don't. No.
Okay, you don't. Okay.
And I don't think they do either.
Okay, I actually don't think they do as well. I was just kind of playing devil's advocate, throwing it out there.
Yeah,
how about this?
You're being a fuck is what you're doing.
Well, yeah, that's what I am.
That's true.
That's what I am. It's basically this show could be renamed Two Fucks Who Talk Wrestling.
Yeah.
But let's talk about then.
Addy and a fat racist? Is that what we were going to go with?
Actually a racist and a fat fuck.
Oh, okay.
Talk wrestling. How about that? Right. So you're the one who said spade a spade. Okay, so Chasing the Hawk. That's Edge's movie he's filmed.
Where he plays
a lawyer who has his vintage Corvette stolen.
It sounds like an awesome movie.
It sounds horrible. It's an action film. It's coming out. When that comes out, I'm sure he'll be on TV to promote it.
Right.
So what do you think about that? And now that he is, it would be a role for him to be in the company. How many movies has John Cena had?
Three?
Three or four?
We had The Marine, right?
Yeah.
He had the...
Legendary, 12 rounds, and I feel like there's
12
one
rounds, legendary. Yeah, I thought it was just... Anyway, who cares? Why?
Well, just because he is there... He's had the most movies. He's their he's who they've pushed as their movie star. Triple H has had one movie. Orton's had one movie. Kane's had one movie.
That's right, yeah.
Now, Ted DiBiase had one movie.
Ken Kennedy had a movie.
So
he took a piss in front of.
Chasing the Hawk coming out, that's Edge's first movie. Edge could be their movie star. They could try and build their movie division around him to give him a role within the company now that he can't wrestle anymore, but still keep him with something if they think he's marketable enough. What do you think of Chasing the Hawk, and what do you think of that idea?
Well, again, the premise of the movie sounds horrible. Right,
yeah.
So I mean,
that's not his
this
fault.
That's not his fault. He's just in the movie. I mean, and that's something. Yeah, if you want to look at doing that and breaking him off into
Stone Cold have two movies with him or
movies.
One. Just the one. Condemned might have been just the one.
I thought he's had two,
maybe.
But okay. He signed like a 3-movie deal or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, with Edge, it's something that it's definitely possible. He's well spoken enough. He's articulate enough. He's not.
I think he has a good look for the movies. I think he'd probably be a good.
Yeah, and I mean, he'd be fine. He was in the Highlander. Remember? Endgame or whatever? Highlander
nope,
Endgame?
Don't remember.
You don't remember him being in Highlander Endgame?
No, because it was the Highlander Endgame.
He was in that when, in like 99 or something. Like even I think he was in The Brood or just out of The Brood and he was in that movie. But anyway, it was, he's got a decent enough, deal where he could be in the movies. And I mean, none of them, I mean, the thing is do you do that? Sure, I guess. Edge is saved his money. He doesn't have issues with that. That's why he's not really hurting to retire. He can retire. I don't know that he... I mean, if they say, hey, we want to do another movie with you, I'm sure he'll say, sure. You know? Like, what the hell? But I don't know that it... You know, they could do that. I don't know that it's going to mean... I probably do know that it's going to mean jack shit, really.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
I would agree.
Not
with
even
that,
maybe. It's fucking, I mean, WWE
sure,
films 99% doing some.
Sure,
we're
going to
get more fucking Marine movies and more fucking whatever this is, What I Am, or whatever this quote unquote Randy Orton movie. It's, you know, that he, you know, he's got two words in the fucking trailer or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, so you could do that. I mean, I don't have a problem with him obviously doing that. I think you're obviously going to keep Edge in the fold. It's not like, I mean, Edge isn't going to TNA or anything,
no,
right? I mean, Edge is, for all intents and purposes, he was on the European tour just because they'd advertised him in world title matches, so he gets to do his farewells there. And then you said he's going to go. And my favorite thing on SmackDown was he said he's going to grab the dogs and his girl and go surfing in Nicaragua. I'm like, yeah, because that's good for your back.
Yeah, I was thinking
falling into the fucking ocean underneath these waves. Yeah, no, that's good.
Whatever.
Sure.
I mean, that's, you know, whatever. That's just what he said, so. Okay, let's talk about
this.
Did
it catch on, though? Is it just something he said that caught on?
Yeah, it's something he said once.
Just once caught on.
Yeah.
Like the game.
The game.
Anyway,
okay,
what's your next Edge topic?
Okay, yeah, I got a bunch here. What do you think about the group that actually came to the ring and hugged him? Big Show, Chavo Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Christian. Essentially. Yeah.
Well, Christian was already in the ring, right?
Christian was already in the ring, yeah.
And I think Big Show was the first guy down.
Yeah, Big Show was the first guy down.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
That he was the first to the ring.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've got
to have to run. He's not,
I mean,
Mark Henry.
You have to think that Edge has been around since 1998.
Yeah.
Right? And really, he's been around doing those Dory Funk Funking Dojo camps with Albert and Test. And I don't think Kurt Angle was in that one. But I think Ron Waterman might have been in it. But, you know, Edge and Christian. And I think Stasiak. Meet, you know, Ryan Seacrest's favorite wrestler was in there. And those would have been in like 96, 97. He did one with Teddy Hart was fucking in there.
Yeah.
You know, so he was doing those sorts of camps. So he's really been in the company now for, what does that make it, 15 years probably? You know, 12, 15 years in that range?
Something like that, yeah.
So if you say that he made his television debut,
I mean,
though.
When he first, before he made his television debut, he was being trained in the ring by Bret Hart here in Calgary.
That's right, that's
right. You know, him and Christian and Tess were
and
all
Mark
being
Henry.
Trained. And Mark Henry. Yeah, and Mark Henry and Tess, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and are you going to call Mark Henry a spade a spade?
Hmm?
I'm worried.
Why?
Anyway.
I think Edge looks more like David Spade. Why?
Oh, he does, he does.
So, but all I'm thinking there is that, you know, he debuted in the summer of 98.
Michael P.S. Hayes Edge. More of a spade than Edge?
He could be. He could be. But Big Show debuted February of 99, right?
Yeah.
They've known each other for years. They live around the corner from each other, for God's sake.
Well, the name that stood out is, it's like, you know, Christian, who's upper mid-card right now. Big Show, he's main event. Ray, this main event. Chavo.
You know? Yeah, but it's his friends.
But it's his
friends.
I mean, it looked a little weird from
that's
that.
That's all it is. Chavo,
you know, it's just I look at Chavo, I go, what happened to your career? Why aren't you – these are your buddies. Why aren't you up there too? You're talented. It's unfortunate. I just kind of noticed that.
Yeah. Well, that is true. That is true. And then, I mean, Hunter coming down on Raw too, you know.
Yeah,
was it Raw or SmackDown there? Hunter didn't come down. Jean-Paul Levesque came down.
Exactly. Paul Levesque came down. Hunter, I mean, yeah, they played his music, but he came down in a suit.
Mm.
And he came down. That was where Vince McMahon came down for Ric Flair when his retirement ceremony.
For any of them, that's when Vince. That's the Vince spot.
That's the Vince spot. And Triple H took it. Triple H came down not as a boy, not to congratulate him as a
but as a man.
Superstar.
Oh, no.
No, but he came down as corporate. He came down as the head of the company to endorse what you've done. And to me, that's the first public acknowledgement that he is taking over from McMahon in a subtle way. And I just want your thoughts on that, on the suited corporate Jean-Paul Levesque coming down.
Well, it was very parallel because everybody came and
nobody
was clapping at the stage.
Nobody's talking about
nobody
this
moved. Is clapping at the stage. Then it parts, and normally you'd hear no chance. That's what you got because he gets the music and he comes down and
exactly.
he walks up and he gives him the big hug with the fist in the back hug, right?
Mm-hmm.
And raises the hand, right?
Yes.
And then he does the point, you know, in a very deliberate manner, I guess, as he does. But, and then this time it parted, and it was all about the game, and Hunter comes down, right, in a suit. Like you said, it was exactly, it was the Vince spot. It was exactly, you put in Hunter's music instead of Vince, and you put Hunter walking down instead of Vince, and it, everything else was identical.
Everything else was identical.
And I think we've been hearing for months now that, you know, Vince is looking to phase himself out. We talked about before about the corporate philosophy change. Is that this is really Vince's sort of last act as chairman? You know, is getting maybe not as chairman, but as the main figure of the company. Is that he's going to get all these sort of non wrestling entities? He's going to spend all the money that he's created. He's essentially going to scorch the earth. He's going to leave his daughter and son-in-law with nothing but a company, just like his dad left him.
Exactly,
left him no money, but a company. Vince had to go into Hawk and really, you know, roll the dice and gamble.
Yeah.
With Mania to, you know, he said if WrestleMania didn't work, he's out of business. And that's not, you know, that's not really an exaggeration.
That's not really an exaggeration.
That's what happened. I mean, you know, Turner, WCW kicking his ass, but should I say Turner, Bischoff kicking his ass, and, you know, and they're taking the water coolers out of Titan Towers. They were in trouble, and he had to really...
McMahon wants you to think it's Turner, though.
Well, that's right.
That's always his spin.
Yes, of course. But so now I think that's what he's doing. He's passing that on, you know, in a little better shape. It's a public company. I mean, it's a better scenario, but he's not leaving his daughter all the money in the coffers and saying, you know, if you screw this up, here's the money to bail, it'll bail you out. He's going to, you know, take everything he's accumulated and spend it all and do what he's going to do and leave, you know, something to his daughter similar to what his dad did to him. And I think that's, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And like I said, I just think it's interesting that this is not being talked about, we're the first ones to talk about it, so Todd Martin should steal this and bring it up next show.
Yeah, you really have an inferiority some sort of complex with Todd Martin. What did he ever do to you?
Who did he ever beat?
Oh, it's true. That's true.
So anyways, no, I love Todd. I love listening to Beat Alvarez and those arguments. That's awesome. I'm always on Todd's side too. It's great. And I like them both.
Wow, I can't believe Todd's been wrong that often.
I don't think he's ever
wrong. Oh, okay.
Anyways, I'm going to phone a big star here because I want to go off the air with a big star. I want this to be like our rock. Let me just see if I can get a hold of the big guest of the week. Hit speed dial here. I have him on my, of course, with all my Rolodex of all my calls.
The millions and millions.
Yeah, no, hold on. I can't. Hold on. I'm getting busy signal. Wait. Let me. Maybe. Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello? How you doing?
Hello.
It's Mo.
Oh, Mo. Mo, how are you? I'm good.
You're
I'm good.
Good.
I'm glad
awesome.
To hear. I'm glad to hear. I'm glad you were telephoning me. I didn't know. I've been getting all these calls asking for me to do shows, and all I'm thinking is, you know, if people could just stop telephoning me, that would be great.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about what's it like? Are you worried about going from big stadiums to playing in front of just a couple hundred people?
No, I don't. Why would I be worried about that? I mean, I would still, if I did things, I would still do things like I did, you know, in Texas Stadium, for instance.
Okay, yeah, no, okay, awesome. How about you got your expressions though? Did they change? Well, you've been accused, I guess, of having your facials.
My poker face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
what do you think about that?
I've got, you know, I just have my poker face. It's one of the things that I do.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? Well, you've been accused of being, speaking of what you do, you've been accused of being sometimes a little difficult to work with. What do you think about that? Are you?
People say that. I was born that way. I was just born this way. I don't know. People take it how they take it, I guess.
Okay, and you're currently touring Japan, is that correct?
I am touring Japan. There are a lot of monsters in Japan.
A lot of like Godzilla and stuff like that? I didn't know you're a fan of those. Is that... Yeah.
No.
I have no idea. Well, thanks very much for coming on. Low Key, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, Low Key, huge star. Thank you so much.
What's Low Key?
You're Low Key.
I'm Lady Gaga.
Oh, shit, I hit the wrong L on my speed dial. Lady Gaga, I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Oh, shit, Addy, wow, I'm sorry about that. That was embarrassing. I called the wrong person.
I can't. Well, some of the answers toward the end, I could kind of tell. I'm looking. I'm going, okay. Well, they don't. It doesn't seem like
that was
they know what you're really talking about there. But
should I still call Key or?
No, we will save Key. We're running out of time here, so we should probably wrap things up here on that note.
Let's go out on one subject here because we just talked about Edge, and we're gonna have more to talk about Edge in our next show, I'm sure. But
are we? Okay.
I just want to bring up this because Edge has gone out and he's got quite a bit of fanfare and topics everywhere. Meanwhile, Mick Foley has said that he's not sure if he's ever gonna have another match after his last match with Ric Flair, which was on Impact.
Right, that was a while ago now.
Wasn't it in the fall? He said he hopes to never have another match.
That's right.
How interesting is it that this guy, who is an absolute legend, deservedly so, not just a hardcore legend, Mick Foley is apparently going out with his last match having no fanfare, and he may have another match, but he doesn't want to. And I think that's very interesting. Essentially, Mick Foley arguably going out with no fanfare at all, not on TV right now, and just how ironic is that?
Well, it's funny you say ironic. It's not surprising, given the fact that he's in TNA, that there would be no fanfare. And we talked, you know, a bit about does Edge solve the problem of your Hall of Fame? And I said no, but Mick Foley does.
Yeah, that's true.
And if
he's gone from TNA, which he could be, I mean, they have no use for him right now. He doesn't want to wrestle.
It's just he can't play
the same role that Bischoff and...
Oh, Jesus, and, fuck. I mean, all he has to do is go, hey, Dixie,
that's true.
You're really cool. Can I get out of my contract so I can go back to WWE? Okay.
Boy, nobody's ever done that.
No, nobody's ever done that.
Kevin Nash.
No one's ever been allowed to go to the Hall of Fame and be on WWE.com giving Shawn Michaels a belt buckle.
No, nobody's ever done
Flair,
that.
But...
yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, that to me makes sense if Foley is having problems with his extremities, just his general, and I mean...
That's what he said.
Good God, I mean...
He had concussion-like symptoms after his last match,
and he said
it's simply taking the bumps in the ring. It's not even a headshot anymore. Simply doing a flat back
bump can cause him to get a concussion at this point. Fuck, are they stupid? Like,
well, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's TNA.
But, yeah, it's true. But it's also Mick Foley here. And the reality is that's been going on for years. That's been going... We talk about Edge and his flaming table into WrestleMania moment and his match there. Mick Foley should not have been doing those.
No, and then that we talk about Edge and his matches tag teaming against, Funk and Dreamer, all four, especially Funk and Foley took some unbelievable damage in that match.
Mick Foley should just be there's no way Foley should be in the ring again. He literally should not have been in the ring for probably the last 10 years outside of one. If he made one or two appearances that were safe, but he doesn't know how to do that, and it's. That's why he shouldn't be there, and it's not surprising. This is the same. This is a hardcore wrestling in-ring version, Mick Foley is, of Scott Hall.
Yes.
Okay. With Scott Hall, people keep saying, why ain't you booked? You should just stop. And everybody knows he should be going to get help, and he's gone to the same fucking rehab center like 8 times. Maybe it's time to try a different one. I don't know. But... Like, and every time he goes, he praises the rehab facility. Oh, the best rehab facility. I can't wait to go back, right? I'd be like, what? Fucking.
Well, somebody pays for it for him.
Well, exactly. You know,
and he gets in, and it's free.
No, I mean,
it's free food and a place to sleep.
Yeah, so you try a new one, maybe. I don't know. But Foley is similarly a very sad case, and he doesn't need the money. Whereas in Hall's case, he does. Foley doesn't need the money.
I think Foley's sad when he's in the ring. I don't consider him a sad case day to day.
I
don't look at Foley and think he's sad anymore.
I do. When I look at Mick Foley, not that he was in shape, but he's out of shape with that leopard print Cactus Jack thing looking like he's looking like he's back in low budget UW Herb Abrams UWF 1988 or whatever it is, just older and ratty, and he can cut a hell of a promo. And that's just what he needs to do. He needs to be a Skandar Akbar-type guy, someone that leads. He could be the new Mr. Fuji. And when we say that, it's because Fuji always led the freaks. Mm-hmm. Fuji had the Kamalas and the Sikas and the Killer Khans and the Demolitions and the Orient Express. He never had... Paul Orndorff was never managed by Mr. Fuji, right? I mean, even back in the day, George the Animal Steel managed by Mr. Fuji, right? Mr. Fuji got those types of people. And that is
Don
something...
Morocco?
Yeah, yeah. I guess he did have Don Morocco, didn't he, with Fuji Vice. So there's your exception. But he's from Hawaii.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that was the deal. No,
okay, but I mean... You know what? I think that's going to bring up a lot of TNA discussion for our next show. I think there's... We've kind of... for our own sake, being ignoring them a little bit.
Yeah, I
need
to get some beer then if we're going to talk about TNA, for fuck's sake.
You didn't have some beer now? We don't want to ruin our image. Of course we've been drunk.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's time to drink some beer and talk about TNA.
Well, no,
but, But yeah, let's do that, and we'll end on the Mick Foley note, and that, as I said, I am saddened by Mick Foley. I love Mick Foley. I think Mick Foley was one of the greatest performers that I've ever seen, and it just saddens me that, you know, I understand the twinkle and I understand the desire to compete, but it is time to. And he said he does.
Again,
and the thing is now that
it's just a shame he's going out with that last match and that last moment.
What makes it even?
Where's the fanfare? Where's
the
match?
I know you translate
so many times. So many times he could have gone out on the top, and he just had to go one step too far.
Well, exactly.
We talked about it before, where athletes
Foley the Ram.
Yeah, we talked about it before. Athletes and wrestlers who stay and Ric Flair's at that point one match too many. So I guess on that note, OUT.
I guess, yeah, we're gonna do that. We'll say in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Night, folks.